a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam. I was humbly kneeling at the cross, fearing not but God's angry frown. When the heavens opened and I saw that my name was written down, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story, a sinner has come home. For there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam. On the last, in the book 'tis written, saved by grace, oh, the joy that came to my soul. Now I am forgiven, and I know, by the blood I am made whole. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story, a sinner has come home. For there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam.
Amen. Good afternoon. My name is Jeff Merrick. I'm pastor here at Calvary Baptist Church. And let me take care of business first. If you have a cell phone, please make sure that's on vibrate, or even better, make sure that it's all the way off so we don't have that going off in the middle of service. And we'd sure appreciate that. Appreciate everybody coming here this afternoon on behalf of Brandon and his family. As well as Melissa's family. I'd like to thank all of you for coming this afternoon as we have this service to remember Melissa and what she meant to all of us, and the blessing that she was to all of us. And a day like this is always hard. I mean, there's just no way around it. But this one's made a little bit easier by the knowledge that Melissa was a blood-bought, born-again child of God, and that makes it a whole lot different. Sometimes people come to funerals in Baptist churches and aren't sure what to expect. This is weeping and rejoicing all at the same time. Amen. Because of what God means to us, because of the confidence that we have in our Savior. Some people would say that her life was cut short, but we believe by faith that she lived the life that her Savior had planned for her. Amen. And we don't understand His working and how He plans things, but we just have to trust Him in these things. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to do a little crying. We're going to do a little remembering about Melissa today. And just rejoice in the fact that she's in the presence of her Savior today. But thank you for being with us today. I've asked Brother Denny, or Pastor Denny Winborn, pastored the church that Melissa was a member of for some time, and her family, many of them still members there, and he's come to be with us today. So he's going to come and open us up in a word of prayer. And after he finishes praying, you can be seated if you would, and then he's going to make a few comments.
Yeah, let's pray and ask God to just bless this whole celebration here this morning. Let's pray. Father, I thank you and I praise you so much for our living Savior, Father, for eternal life, yet even also abundant life, for the trusting as well. Thank you, Lord, for loving us so much. Thank you, Father, that your promises are true. And Father, we thank you for the joy that you have. And even now, we're just asking your comforting hand. Father, wrap your loving arms around Brother Brandon and family and loved ones, Lord. Brother Wade, the Mears family, just wrap your loving arms around them. Only you can bring that healing touch, Father. Only you can sustain them at a time like this, Father. And I pray, we pray, Father, please encourage and please just help us to look unto Thee, the author and finisher of our faith, Lord Jesus. Thank you for loving us so much. Thank you, Father, for the comfort and the promise in your word, according as Melissa gave strong testimony of her saving faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we know and rest in the promise of your word that she's at home in heaven today. And Father, we thank you now. Lord, encourage. Father, many things will be said and some things will be forgotten very easily. But Father, would you take the truth of your word? Would you take the testimonies and would you just please let them linger in hearts and meet needs in people's lives? Father, truly, if there's someone here this afternoon, doesn't know for sure that when they die, they're going to heaven, Father, help them to get that matter settled in their life, for there is an eternity to deal with. Father, we pray, Father, bless your word, the preaching of your word, the testimony of your word. Father, the songs that will be sung, we pray for your anointing throughout this time of celebration. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. It certainly is courageous of Brother Merrick to allow a pastor to come up and say, make a few comments there. My time's going to come in a few weeks there, in a couple of weeks there. We're going to have a real special memorial service at Lighthouse Baptist Church Saturday week, and not try to prolong it, but try to make it at a time when friends across the river could come, where she went to school and knew people there as well. And we are looking forward to that as well. And it is a bittersweetness about it. God's people are a strange bunch, all right? The world looks at God's people. Yeah, we are strange. We're strangers in this land. And God looks at us. I mean, the world looks at us. We're a strange bunch. We can come to a funeral and amidst the tears be smiling. You know, what are you, nuts or what? What's the matter? Y'all are just deranged. You're off your rock. No, it's just the joy of the Lord. You cannot know that other than that. I've buried my father. I've buried my firstborn. And in recent weeks, we've gotten horrifying news while I was on the road or whatever of dear saints of God. I mean, young people there. Life makes no promises, but God does. God makes all the promises, and you can take his promises to the bank there for sure there. Well, I tell you, I was looking at this montage or whatever you call it, this video presentation. Well, what a splendid job. Brother Caudill and I were kind of talking about that a little bit. And have you ever seen Melissa had them serious times, right? You know, she was a selfie kind of person. Did you realize, have you recognized that? I don't know what her deal is. Boy, you know. Did she ever get one of them selfie sticks? Not that she needed it. It seemed like she used one all the time, but no. You know, I mean, she was loaded for bear at any time there. She probably got 7,000 pictures on her phone. I don't know if she could get them on there. But she could make some, you know, really nice lady-like looks and pleasant. And then she'd throw a goofy one on you. You don't know where she got that at, you know? I mean, she could make a goofy face better than anybody here right now. No one's got it on her. But it was Melissa. She enjoyed life, and she wanted to have fun, good fun. She knew how to have good fun. I think of Melissa, and boy, I know I get to stand up and later on a couple of weeks here and give some other thoughts. But I thought here of this. One verse came to my mind as I thought about Melissa's life, and they came to us, well, I don't know, at least 5 years ago, something of that nature. And we've been through some heartaches with the family and had all of them, the kids. And I watched Melissa grow. And here's a verse that came to my mind. It may be strange. You don't hear a verse like this read at very many celebrations like this, but Paul said this. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, only Luke is with me. Take Mark, bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. You know, it's hard to believe the young lady could be profitable to a pastor, profitable to someone. And she was. She was an encourager, man. She spent enough time around me. She made me feel like I could make no mistakes. I knew the truth, though. But she'd make you feel that good and just behind you all the time. And she was always supportive and had a servant's heart at all. I believe y'all knew that well here. And from what I understand in recent months, boy, she had really begun to get on board, getting in the gear work, and God was using her. And so, by the way, God's still using her. Ain't done. Not at all. And I think that's a blessing. this past Sunday night, I preached a message, Finishing Well. It's one of those messages I'm going to carry with me a lot. It's just so needful to finish well. And I believe, I hope you're not going there, Brother Merrick, but anyhow, I believe she finished well. She was finishing well. And it's so important for you and I to do that, isn't it? Boy, the impact you make in people's lives later, it's a living impact. It's a living legacy, you might say. And thank God for the young lady. Now, was she perfect? Don't answer that. We're not talking about perfection here. We're talking about consistency and faithfulness to try to be what God would have her to be. And she's touched a lot of lives here this morning. And many of you have come to be an encouragement to Brandon. Maybe you didn't even know Melissa that well at all. I think you'll get to know her a little bit as you continue. But I thank God for the privilege of knowing Melissa, being able to work with her family. And we're not done. Family, we're not done. God bless them, man. But we're looking forward to great days ahead as well. We love Melissa. Our people are, yes, they're in tears right now. And their hearts are broken. And some you can't talk on the phone very long about it. And they just choke up. And it's unbelievable, isn't it? But God works in mysterious ways. And God's got a continuing work. Thank you so much. God bless you so much. Listen intently to the testimony and song. It's a part of what Melissa represented as well. And God bless you so much.
At this time, Miss Eileen, Caroline, and Tabitha Caudill will be coming to sing the song In My Robe of White.
In my robe of white, I will fly away to that land so fair. Meet my Jesus there, it will be so grand. When I get to that land in my robe of white, I will fly away. First I'll hear that trumpet sound, and all the saints will be heaven bound. We will cross over Jordan white, stop and view the other side. Then I'll see those holy hills and my mansion he has built. I'll be the first one in the line to see my name in the book of life. In my robe of white, I will fly away to that land so fair. Meet my Jesus there, it will be so grand. When I get to that land in my robe of white, I will fly away. It's gonna be a wonderful time when I get to the other side. See my loved ones gone before. We'll depart from them no more. We'll be walking on streets of gold, surrounded by riches untold. When I first look on his face, I'll be saved in his amazing grace. In my robe of white, I will fly away to that land so fair. Meet my Jesus there, it will be so grand. When I get to that land in my robe of white, I will fly away. Yes, in my robe of white, I will fly away.
Appreciate that, ladies. Melissa's already flown. Amen. Home with her Savior today. Brother Eric Armacost is going to come and read the obituary and make some comments as well. And, of course, Brother Armacost is also Brother Brandon's stepfather. So, sir, why don't you come ahead.
Brandon shouldn't have cried right before I got up here. Melissa Rose Palmer, age 20, of Knobnostra, Missouri, passed away Saturday, September 19th, 2015 at Cedar Point Hospital in Lee Summit, Missouri. She was born October 1st, 1994 in Okinawa, Japan. the daughter of Wade and Sandy D. Smears. On March 1st, 2014, she was united in marriage to Brandon Palmer in Cincinnati, Ohio. Melissa was very active in her church. She taught children's Sunday school classes at Calvary Baptist Church here in Knobnostra, Missouri. She loved children. She enjoyed babysitting. And she loved her dog, Zoe, who accompanied her everywhere she went. Melissa is survived by her husband, Brandon, one brother, Daniel Mears II of Knobnostra, Missouri, four sisters, Catherine Gomez and husband Emilio, and Rebecca Mears, all of New Orleans, Louisiana, Sarah Mears and Caroline Mears, both of Marrero, Louisiana, her father, Wade Mears, her wife, Vicky of Marrero, Louisiana, stepfather-in-law, Eric Armacost, and his wife, Sandy, of Loveland, Ohio, and father-in-law, Stephen Palmer, and his wife, Belinda, of Goshen, Ohio. She was preceded in death by her mother, Sandy Mears, and her two grandfathers, Harry Mears and Russell Johnson. As I was listening to the brother speak here just a minute ago and said that I can't believe that he gave a Baptist pastor an opportunity to make comments, well, he gave two. And I as I sat down last night and I was thinking about all the things we could say and all the things that we could be here forever about, obviously you'll see she was the queen of the selfie. She took a lot of them. I used to tease her when she'd come up home about those goofy faces. And I tell her the only reason she made those goofy faces is because Brandon stayed that way. And she was trying to keep up. And she would laugh. I teased her about that dog, and I teased her about her snake. And I asked her, she said she wanted a pet snake. And I asked her, are you nuts? And Brandon said, yes. And I said, Brandon's even more nuts because he bought it for her. But there was two things I want to say, and I'll be done. I noticed from the very first time I ever met her, there was two things I noticed about her. Number one, she loved to talk. And she talked and talked and talked, and she was just trying to get to know. And I looked at Brandon, and she would begin talking, and Brandon's smiling now. We would poke her on the shoulder. And the first time we did it, she goes, what are you doing? And we said, we were looking for a mute button. Or I would look at her, and I would go, now finish. She was a very friendly, outgoing person. She loved life. She loved people. But the second thing I remember about her is her faithfulness to the Lord and how much she loved God. And as I thought about what to read, if any, I thought of nothing but this verse in Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 21. The Bible says, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. If there's one thing that somebody can say about Melissa, she was faithful to the very end. She loved God. When she would be up at our church for a couple weeks, when they'd come up to visit, the first thing she would say is, I can help in junior church. I can help a Sunday school. She just wanted to help. She loved the Lord. And today, she's in the presence of the Lord. She is in the presence of the one that she served for what we would see as a short life, but God would say is a fulfilled and a wonderful life. I like what the brother said before, too. Her work is not finished. Victorious Christian life doesn't end here. 20 years from now, when you begin talking about Melissa, God still gets the glory from her life. That is a victorious Christian life. And I say this as I say at every funeral that I go to for a Christian person, this is not goodbye. Yeah. This is just see you later.
This time we'll have Caroline and Tabitha Caudill come and sing the song, One More Voice.
Only God has the answers to the questions why, when a loved one is taken and others left behind, and the sorrow that we know can't compare with heaven's joy. As as the father stands to greet his child and welcome them home. One more voice has entered heaven's choir, and the time that we're apart is only for a while. As heaven's praises ring, that death has lost its sting, as the saints all stand before the throne and sing with one more voice. The moments that we had in this life may seem gone, but the music of your life still goes on, and all the lives that you touch on this earth we'll never know, but in heaven we'll be there with you to welcome them home. One more voice has entered heaven's choir, and the time that we're apart is only for a while. As heaven's praises ring, that death has lost its sting, as the saints all stand before the throne and sing with one more voice. And every time a sinner bows his head to let the Savior in, you can hear the saints and angels rejoice with one more voice. One more voice has entered heaven's choir, and the time that we're apart is only for a while. As heaven's praises ring, that death has lost its sting, as the saints all stand before the throne and sing with one more voice. Ooh, one more voice.
If you would, please stand. Take the blue hymn book for our next congregational. Please stand. Page number 702 in the blue book. There's also page number 55 in the red book. 702 in the blue book or 55 in the red book. And we'll sing all three verses of When the Roll is Called Up Yonder.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, shall rise and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the sky, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder,
seated.
Well, it's my understanding that Philippians chapter 4 was Melissa's favorite passage, or one of those that was her favorite passage. And so Brandon asked if we could read that. So Brother Tim Caldill is going to come and read that passage for us. If you have your Bible with you, we invite your attention over to Philippians chapter 4. And I will save you some time later. You might hang on to that.
Philippians chapter 4 says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eudeus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit, that it may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need, according to his riches in glory, by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Now we have another special, one last special before the message. Sarah Mears, Melissa's sister, and Tabitha and Caroline are going to sing the song, "He Is My All in All."
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, more to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. My shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus,
Thank you, ladies. If you have your Bible with you today, turn to Philippians chapter 4, if you would please. Philippians chapter 4, if you have that with us, with you. Again, appreciate everyone being here today and being with us in support of the family. And appreciate those who sang. As you can tell, Caroline and Tabitha were close to Melissa, and so appreciate them singing and helping out in that area today. And again, all the friends and family who are here as well. Appreciate the comments also. It is important how you run, as we've heard already, and she certainly ran her race well. I know she's been a blessing to our church since she came back from Louisiana and married Brandon and just got in here and got involved. But the big thing is that she finished well. And one thing you always want to remember in life is most people don't remember much about how you ran. All they really remember is how you finished. And she finished well. There's no doubt about that. If you have Philippians chapter 4, why don't you stand with me, if you would, please. We have a habit around here where we stand when we read the text before the message, and I thought about leaving you seated, but I thought Melissa would want to know what in the world was going on, that we were sitting down when we read the text, and so I thought we probably better stand and read it. We just do that in honor of God's Word. This is a little bit of an unusual text for a funeral message, but since this was Melissa's favorite passage, I just felt it was appropriate that we take the text out of Philippians chapter 4, so that's what we're going to seek to do. Look, if you will, please, in verse 4, if you have your Bible with you. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you, pray that you'll help us to focus the next few moments on your word. We're thankful for the songs that we've heard, the testimonies that we've heard in relationship to Melissa. We're thankful for her testimony, that these things are not things that are designed to puff up her testimony, but they were sincere and real, and she lived them, and we're thankful that we can be honest in these things. But we pray that you help us to focus for the next few moments on your word. Speak to our hearts out of the scriptures today. Melissa would have it no other way than we bring forth the Word of God as a part of her funeral. So I just pray that you help me and help all of us to learn and apply it to our life. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing in reverence to God's Word this afternoon. There's a big difference between the death of a person like Melissa who was saved and who loved her Lord and was not only saved and loved her Lord, but was serving Him as well. There's a big difference between that type of person and the person who is not, either the person who either isn't saved or is saved but not serving the Lord. I know Friday night we were at the hospital. I think everyone involved could say that from Thursday night to Saturday morning is just kind of a blur. But Friday night when we were at the hospital was a hard time, as I think the reality of things kind of began to settle in as to where we were and what was going to happen. It began to look as if the Lord was going to take Melissa home. And so, not knowing what else to do, we just read a few scriptures and we sang songs, sang hymns. As a matter of fact, I think we sung every song in the hymn book that we could think of, and we might have even made a few up, I don't know, but we were singing everything we could think of in order to sing. And I kept watching the nurses because Melissa's room was right outside the nurses' station, and we were getting kind of loud. You know, you get Baptists singing, they just get louder and louder, and then we broke out in harmony. We sounded good, I'm telling you. We started singing, and I kept watching to see if the nurses were going to close the door, because I thought for sure a time or two they were going to come in and tell us to keep it down a little bit. And I looked out and saw one of them was singing with us while we were singing. One of them came in at one point and said, you know what, when I am in this spot, I want you all to come sing for me. And I like that. I don't get very many requests to go sing anywhere. And so she was excited about that. So, of course, it wasn't our singing. It was just that God was working and moving. And one thing that spoke to me about this in relationship to what we're talking about is one of the nurses came in and we asked her, said, are we getting too loud? We want to respect other people. So I said, are we getting too loud? Are we disturbing you in any way? And she goes, oh, no. Absolutely not. She said, last week we had someone in here, and she says, I wish you had all been here then. And of course, the point is there's a difference between somebody who knows the Lord and someone who doesn't. And there's a difference in their death, and there's a difference in their home going. And this morning, or this afternoon in Philippians chapter 4, Paul brings out some of that difference in our text, and we're going to try not to keep you too long, but we want to see what that difference is and what makes that difference. And if you have your Bible, I'll draw your attention to verse 4 where it says, "Rejoice in the Lord." And in verse 4, God tells His people to rejoice. And then, just to make sure that we get it by way of emphasis, He says it again, "Rejoice in the Lord." And then He says again, "I say rejoice." Now, a lot of people get confused over this passage because they don't understand what the word rejoice means as it's used here. A lot of people think that it means something that it doesn't. This word in verse 4 doesn't refer to boisterous shouting or loud outbursts. It doesn't refer to sudden shouts of praise God or praise the Lord or those sorts of things. That's not what Paul's talking about. As a matter of fact, the word rejoice in this verse means the opposite of that. The word rejoice in the text means a calm cheerfulness. It means something that's underlying, not something loud, but something that is within. And that's a lot different than something that's just outwardly or loud or boisterous. It doesn't refer to sporadic shouts of joy, but it refers to a constant or habitual calm or cheerfulness. And so Paul says that we should possess this. And then he says in verse 4, "To the child of God again, I say that we are to possess this." It refers to something underlying, which is why we see what we do in verse 4 when it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." So he says this is something that's to be true all the time. In every part of life and everything that we're going through, there's to be an underlying attitude of calm cheerfulness that's to be true of a child of God at all times in their life. And then, almost as if he wants to emphasize it again in verse 5, he says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men." And he says that God's people, or who are a people of faith, are to be known for their moderation. And it's based on that whole idea of cheerfulness. He says, because we have an underlying cheerfulness, Paul says, "Let our moderation be known to all people." And the word moderation simply means reasonableness. And the idea of the verse is this. It refers to the truth that due to that underlying cheerfulness that we have, and due to the faith that we have in God and the things of God, that God's people are not to be prone to respond to the things of life by either extreme highs or extreme lows. But there is just this steady, confident faith in God and the things of God, which Paul calls this reasonable cheerfulness in verse 4 and 5 that we're supposed to have. Now, let me say this. Does that mean this afternoon that during times of loss like this and difficult times like Brandon's going through and the family and all of us are going through, does that mean that a child of God's not supposed to feel anything? Does that mean that we're not supposed to grieve? Well, absolutely not. That would be ridiculous. Amen, to think such a thing. It would be ridiculous to think that as children of God, we're not supposed to grieve. Melissa touched the lives of a lot of people. And because of that, we grieve that loss. Melissa was a wife, and her husband, who loved her very much, is certainly going to miss her now that she's gone. She was a daughter, and her father is going to miss her. She was not only a wife and a daughter, but she was a sister and a granddaughter, and she'll be missed by that family. She was a daughter-in-law, and Brandon's family will mourn the loss of Melissa and also experience mourning for the loss that their son is experiencing. She was a friend. She was a faithful part of our church family. She was a sister in the Lord, and we as a church loved her and mourn her loss. I'm going to miss seeing Melissa sitting in her spot. You know how church people are. We always have our spot. And I'm going to miss seeing her sitting in her spot that she was always in, and our church is going to miss her. And I can assure you, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that her pastor is going to miss her greatly. And I'm going to miss, as I said, seeing her here and coming in the door and being involved. And she just started teaching Sunday school several weeks ago. And Miss Mary, who teaches that class, was telling me that what an outstanding job she was doing, how excited she was about that. I'm going to miss that excitement and enthusiasm. So we're certainly not saying that we're not supposed to feel anything or we're not supposed to suffer this idea of grief. Paul wrote this in 1 Thessalonians 4:13. He said, "Those of us who know the Lord, as Melissa did, are not to mourn as those who have no hope." Right. And that's the difference. We certainly will miss her and we will grieve her loss, but we don't mourn as if there is no hope. We don't mourn as if this is a hopeless day or a hopeless situation, because when you're a child of God, there is no such thing as hopelessness. And so we have hope today because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is that hope that gives us that underlying cheerfulness, that ability to say, while our heart is breaking, we still trust His love and we still trust His care and we still trust in Him. And it is that underlying hope that enables us to go on even though our heart is breaking because we're going to miss Melissa greatly. And God's faithful people look at a time like this much differently than those who don't know the Lord as their Savior. Now, what is it that enables us, if you're saved today or a child of God, what is it that enables us to have this underlying sense of cheerfulness? What is it that enables us to say, even when our heart is breaking, we are going to go forward. We are going to move on. We can make it. We can do it. We're going to keep running as Melissa set the example for us in serving God because we trust Him. What is it that enables us to do that? Well, I can assure you this much. It is not by way of our willpower. It is not by way of our mental toughness. It is not intestinal fortitude. It is not anything within us. Listen, we don't have this underlying cheerfulness because we're just tough. Yeah. Or because we just don't face things, or because we have some type of religious crutch. That's not what enables us to do that. There's something specific that enables us to do it. Paul says in our text that there's four things in particular that help us as a child of God and separate us from others, and that allows us to have this hope that gives us this underlying sense of cheerfulness. And I just want you to see those four things real quick, and we will be done. First of all, we can have hope, and we have this underlying sense of cheerfulness, even in a time of loss like this, because rather than it being based on something that's within us, it is based in the Lord. Amen. And he says in Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. He doesn't say rejoice in your mental toughness. He doesn't say rejoice in your willpower. He says rejoice in the Lord. And our rejoicing is made possible because of what we have as God's people in the Lord, or more specifically today, or more particularly today, we rejoice because of what Melissa had in the Lord. And it's what Melissa had in the Lord that enables us to hope even in the midst of grief and even in the midst of sorrow. Listen, this morning or this afternoon, we are all born sinners. A sinner is simply someone who disobeys God or disobeys God's word, and we've all done that. We're born with the heart of a rebel, and we're all born rebels against God. And the penalty that's upon us because of that sin is eternal separation from God in a place called the lake of fire, which is exactly what the Bible says. But fortunately for us, we read in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, Paul wrote this, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. And Jesus Christ came to this earth, took our place on the cross, and died in our place, suffering our condemnation to make it possible for us to be saved and delivered from that which we deserve. And he did that because he loves us. Now all that remains is for each of us to individually receive what Christ did on Calvary, and we can all be saved. We can all have the hope that Melissa had and the confidence that Melissa had. And she had that because in November of 2009, Melissa heard the truth of the gospel, and she did just exactly what the Word of God said, and she received Jesus Christ as her Savior. And as a result of that decision that she made in 2009, we have this underlying cheerfulness because of what she received when she did that, because of what she received in the Lord the day that she received Jesus Christ as her Savior. Let me give you a couple examples of what she received in the Lord and why we have confidence. First of all, we know this, that when Melissa left her body and when Melissa left this life, she did not have to make the journey into eternity alone. Amen. And we know that based on Luke chapter 16. We won't turn there for the sake of time. In Luke chapter 16, we get a story that we oftentimes refer to as Lazarus and the rich man. And it's a story of two different men. One of them didn't know Jesus as his Savior. One man died in his sin. And the Bible says, having died, he found himself immediately in the torments of hell. But then there was another man by the name of Lazarus who, like Melissa, was a child of God. And the Bible says that the moment that Lazarus died, he was escorted by the angels into the presence of God. Amen. Listen, that's two vastly different scenarios. And the Bible says that because of that, he was escorted because of his faith. And I believe that we can safely assume this based on the Word of God and on that passage, that one of the duties of the angels of God is to escort or ensure that the people of God don't make the journey into eternity alone or by themselves. Now, that's good stuff. And I can say this much. How would you like to see Melissa's face the moment she found herself suddenly in the presence of the angels of God being escorted into glory? That would have caused her to make a face right there. I can absolutely guarantee it. And I'm sure she's not able to make a selfie of that, but it would be something to behold. And so I have no doubt that she did not go alone, Brandon. God escorted her. The Bible says that the angels of God escorted her. And when she left this life, the angels of God took her into the presence of her Savior. And that's a comfort that only a child of God can have when they know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so that's something that she received when she received Him as her Lord. Then we can also have an underlying cheerfulness, not only in the truth that Melissa didn't leave this life alone, but also because the Bible tells us that the moment she was absent from this body, she was present with her Savior. Just that quickly, in the twinkling of an eye, in a moment, she was present with her Savior. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8, that be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We don't have to mourn as others mourn because we know exactly where Melissa is this afternoon. Amen. We don't have to worry about her going to some intermediate state or some other place. We won't agonize tonight over whether or not Melissa's in heaven. We won't agonize or worry about whether or not she's with her Lord. We know that she knew Christ as her Savior. Her life evidenced that truth. And we also know, based on our faith in the Word of God, that the very moment she was absent from the body, she was present with her Lord. I know that we don't have to fret and worry because we know she's been reunited with her mother. Yes. And they're both in the presence of their Lord tonight, this afternoon. And what a comfort that is.
Yes.
I've been doing this for 30-some years, and I can been with a lot of people in circumstances like this. And every pastor will tell you, there's nothing harder than doing the funeral of someone who doesn't know where their loved ones are, whether they're in heaven or not. And it's a great comfort to be able to say this, Brennan, we know where she is. I mean, there is absolutely no doubt. And what a comfort it is to be able to say that I know my wife is in glory, or I know that my daughter is with the Lord. I know that my sister and my loved one is with Him. And I'll tell you this much, she is having a greater time than she ever had in this life with Him. And so we can have this underlying calmness because we know where she's at. Then we can have this that underlying cheerfulness because we know that not only did Melissa leave this life, did not leave this life alone, and that she's now in the presence of the Lord, and that she's enjoying the place that her Savior has prepared for her. Jesus said in John chapter 14, I go to prepare a place for you. He goes on to say, if it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And Brandon, God never lies to us. And He says, if it weren't so, I would have told you. And He's prepared a place for her. I don't know what that place looks like, but I can guarantee you it's good, whatever it is. And the Bible tells us that she's there now in the presence of her Savior, in the place that her Lord has prepared for her. And I can also guarantee you that she's rejoicing in that, having the greatest time that she ever had in the presence of her Lord, reunited with her loved ones, in the place that her Savior made especially for her. We can have peace and confidence in that. You know, if Melissa had never received Christ's substitutionary death on her behalf, this would be a whole different kind of service. This would be a whole different kind of funeral. We would have to mourn and weep and worry about where Melissa was and agonize over that, but we don't have to do that. We'll mourn because we'll miss her presence, but we don't mourn because we're worried about where she is. We don't mourn because we were afraid she left alone. We don't mourn because we're afraid she had no place. We know she had all those things through Christ, and so we can be happy about that and confident in that, that she had all those things. She was a child of God, and so we hope in all that she had in the Lord. And then secondly, in verse 5, not only do we hope and have this cheerfulness because of what she had in the Lord, but secondly, we have this hope and confidence because we know that the Lord is coming back and His promise of a return. It says in verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men, and here's why, the Lord is at hand. And that's a promise that Jesus is coming back. Now, I know that sometimes today in the culture that we're in, they think we're crazy for believing such a thing. But if I didn't believe that, I don't know how I'd get out of bed in the morning. And if I didn't believe that, I don't know how we would do anything like this if it were not for our faith in Him. And we believe, listen, we have this confidence because we believe that Melissa is just fine. She's secure in heaven. We know where she's at. And she is having the time of her life. But then secondly, we also have this cheerfulness because of His promised return. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18 tells us that one of these days, Jesus is coming back. Amen. He's coming back with a shout and with the trumpet and with the angels of God. And the Bible says that those who have died and gone on are coming back with Him. Come on, you church people at least can amen that. He's coming back. And when he comes back, all those who have died and gone on without him are coming with him. And Melissa is coming with him. Now, you want to talk about a face, that'll be a face. Think of what a kick, think of what a kick she'll get out of coming back and meeting us in the air. And the Bible says that those of us who are saved and alive, when the Lord returns, we'll go up to meet them in the air. And we sing those old-fashioned songs about that great reunion in the air. And won't that be something when we go up to meet him? To go up to meet her in the air. Brother Brandon, if you're still here, we'll go up and meet her if the Lord comes back in our lifetime. And there's great hope in that. She's not lost. She's not gone forever. She's coming back when he comes back. And Brandon, we're going to see her again. We're either going to go to where she is or she's going to come to where we are. One or the other. And we will be reunited with her. Therefore, we can have hope. We can have hope in that. Again, what a reunion that'll be. And don't tell me Melissa's not going to love that. And then thirdly, we can have an underlying sense of cheerfulness because as the people of God, we have the opportunity to be heard of God through prayer. Verse 6, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication let your thanksgiving, and with thanksgiving let your requests be known unto God." Brandon and I have already talked about this, and it's not something I'm sure that he doesn't already know, but there's going to be hard days ahead. I was talking to him yesterday, I think it was, and we were kind of texting back and forth a little bit, and I told him, I said, "Brandon, you know," I said, "there's going to be some hard days ahead, and those days tend to come in waves. There tend to come in good days and bad days and good days and bad days. But we have this confidence, Brandon, in verse 6, that when those days come, we have someone we can go to." As we talked about Sunday morning and our Sunday morning service, we can get a hold of God and we can take those burdens and carry them unto him. And there's not a thing in the world wrong, Brother Brandon, with getting on your knees and saying, "Lord, I need help to get through today." Yeah. And we have the promise of God that he'll always be there for us. Amen. He'll always be there for his people. It's great believing in the Lord. Amen. It's even better being saved. Amen. Because of those things that come with it and the confidence that we can have in him. That we're never alone, and he is only as far away as prayer. And it doesn't matter how hard the day is, God will always be bigger than you need him to be. We just need to turn to him.
That's right.
And then lastly, we can face these times of loss and have a sense of cheerful hope because of the peace that only God can give. It says in verse 7, "And the peace of God," I love this next statement, "which passeth all understanding,"
amen,
he says, "will keep us." That doesn't mean that we can't, I don't believe that means we can't understand the peace of God, although that probably would be a true statement. I believe what Paul's referring to is that unless you've been comforted by God, you can understand it because no one can comfort us like he can.
That's right.
And we all know this, as we talked about Sunday morning, you go through things in life and in this life and times like this where there's nothing any human being can say that's going to make you feel any better. As I said, I've been doing this a while, and in 30-some years, I found this much. There are times when there's nothing a pastor can say that's going to make anything better or make you feel any better. And I said Sunday morning, I wish, you know, as a pastor, you had a wand in your desk you could pull out and just wave it around, and everything would be better, and people's pain would be gone, but that's part of this life. But I know this much, there is one who can give us peace like no one else can. And I've seen people go through things like this and see the amazing peace of God when God comforts us and helps us. And Brother Brandon, God will strengthen you for the day.
Yep.
And he'll give you peace when no one else can.
Amen.
In ways that you cannot understand. And we go through things in life where we look back once they're over and we think to ourselves, "I don't know how I got through that." And that's when we begin to see how God helped us and the peace of God that he gave us. That all comes when we know him as our Savior. It pays to serve the Lord.
Amen.
It pays to know him as our Savior. And when it pays is especially at times like this. So Paul says we ought to have that underlying peace and confidence because we know that she didn't go alone. And we know, of course, that she is in heaven with her Savior. We know one of these days, if we're still here, she's coming back with him. We can turn to him in prayer and we can find comfort and peace with him when we can't find it anywhere else. This is a hope that those who have never been born again, who have never experienced salvation, can't understand. And it's sad to me that today we make fun of concepts such as being born again, being saved, being delivered, And we cut ourselves off as people from the greatest help and greatest comfort that a human being can have because of that. And in truth, it's hope that people who claim to be saved and yet are not serving God really can't grasp either. And we're all going to miss Melissa. There's no doubt about that. But Brandon and all of the family this afternoon, it's okay to sorrow.
Yes.
It's okay to cry. It's okay to grieve. It's okay to admit, hey, I miss her. It's okay, Brother Brandon, in the days to come to be able to call someone and say, I'm having a hard day.
Yeah.
It's okay to do that. Just remember that we can still have hope because we know where she's at. She didn't go alone. One of these days, whether she comes to us or we go to her, we're going to see her again. And when those days come, Brandon, be a man of prayer. Get a hold of God and call out for his help. Certainly your church family is here for you. Certainly your family is here for you and your friend are here for you. Appreciate the tremendous show from your squadron and shop. And there are a lot of people for you. But remember, first of all, to draw your strength and help from him. From him. So thankful that she knew the Lord as her Savior, had that testimony of faithfulness and service to him, because in that we can find hope and reason to rejoice for her, even while we rejoice, or even while we miss her. Not only is her salvation now paying off, but the value of her faithfulness is paying off as well. If you're today, you don't know Christ as your Savior, we're not going to give an invitation as we would in service, but if you are here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're not sure where you're going to spend eternity, now's the day to deal with these things. One of the things that so took us over Melissa's passing was the suddenness of it. It was one of those events in life that certainly proves what the Scripture says. You have no idea what a day will bring forth. Brandon and Melissa got up that morning and no thought of what lay ahead would ever have entered into their mind. And yet here we are. And it's so great to know that when that time came, she was ready. So if you're here today and you're not sure you're saved, don't think you have forever. If you're here today and don't know him as your Savior, see me or see one of these pastors before you leave today. We'd count an honor and a privilege to help in any way that we can. Just take you through the Scriptures and show you how you can have what Melissa had, because one of these days it'll be of great, great value. Amen. Praise the Lord, she knew him as her Savior. We're so thankful she's in heaven. Some part of us is a little bit jealous,
yeah,
because she's now seeing those things that we believe by faith. And her faith is now sight. And she beat us there. And one of these days, we'll be there, and maybe, I don't know how things are going to work when we get there, Brandon, but maybe she'll show us around with great joy and gladness. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you this afternoon, we're thankful for the testimony of Melissa. We're so thankful that she knew your Son as her Savior. We're thankful there was a day when she turned from her sin and laid those sins upon your Son. We're thankful that he died on the cross to deliver us, and that she put her faith in you. We're thankful that someone took the word of God and showed her out of it how she could apply his death to her life. And we're so thankful for the difference that it made, not just in where she was going to spend eternity, but even now in her life. And we ask, if there's one here today that's not saved, that you might speak to their heart, that they might get a hold of someone before they leave today. What a great thing to be able to leave today and say, now I know that I'm ready, as Melissa was. And I pray that you just give them the courage to do so. I pray for strength for this family, especially for Brandon. As we've mentioned, there's going to be hard days ahead. And we pray even now that you'll encourage him and strengthen him. Lord, I'm so thankful. I was so impressed so far with the grace that you've given him, the way he handled things in the hospital, and your grace was already evident in his life, and the strength that you gave him and the decisions that had to be made, and how it was evident that you were with him all along the way. We pray that that'll continue to be the case going forward. And then we pray for her father and for her brothers and sisters and her family. I pray that you'll strengthen them and help them as the day goes forward, help them in their time of loss, and then all of their family, friends, and us as a church, that you help us also as we mourn her passing. But I pray, as we've seen this morning, we'll never forget that where she is, and we'll draw strength and encouragement from where she's at and the confidence that we can have that we don't have to worry about her now, that she's safe in the care and in the presence of her Savior. We love you. Thank you for this confidence we have in these things. In Jesus' name, amen. There's going to be a reception downstairs. If you would like to stay, we'd encourage you to stay. I think we have enough food to feed everybody twice, so we would encourage you to stay if you're able to. And that will be right after the service is over. If you'd like to take a few moments and say a few words to Brandon or to the family, you can certainly do that. And we're going to ask you to be patient with us, if you would. We don't have a great deal of room in the foyer, and so if we release everyone all at one time, we're going to get balled up and not be able to get out. So what we're going to do is we're going to take the casket out, and the family will follow, and then we're going to ask you to remain seated for just a few moments while we take care of that, so that that way we don't have a rush at the door and a family is caught outside, unable to get back in. And then once we get that done, we'll release everybody by row. And if you're going to stay and eat with us, which we'd encourage you to do, please just go through the double doors downstairs straight ahead, and we'll be ready to eat here in a few moments as soon as the family gets done and is able to get down a stair. So again, we appreciate your patience while we do that, so it would make it a little bit easier on the family to get in and out. Thank you again for coming and being with us today during this time. Again, one more time, praise God she's saved.
Amen.
I know the Lord is her Savior. Let's go ahead and pray one more time. Ask God's blessing on the food as we go downstairs, so that way they'll be ready to go and ready to eat, and for traveling mercies as well. And I'll ask Brother Tim Caldwell, why don't you dismiss us in prayer.
Father, we